Hey, podcaster, meet Acast. We're the top independent podcast network for creators in the know. We empower you to develop your podcast idea, find your audience, and grow listener relationships wherever those listeners are. You'll also find a whole range of ways to make money, from membership plans for paying fans to our fully curated and creative advertising experience. Visit acast.com/network to find out more. Acast, for the stories.
This is a Crowd podcast.
So just to slip in to this episode, a trigger warning. Later on in the episode, I will be talking about breath play and bags over heads. So if you get nervous a little bit about breath and breathing and choking, then just be aware that it's going to come up. But it's also spoken about in a very safe way. So if you want to do breath play and you want to know how to do it safely, fucking do your research and have a listen.
Hello, curious fuckers.
I was going to say my baby boys, but I don't know where that came from.
My baby boys?
My baby boys, specifically. But boys spelled B-O-I, obviously.
My baby boys.
Boy! And then everyone else, too. All the other genders, although we shouldn't really be like, baby boys. Like, you've had enough privilege.
Just hey, babies.
Hey, babies. Hey, cuties.
Curious fuckers.
Cure for fuck's sake.
Like, I don't know who is going, but like, hello, welcome back to Fucks Given by Come Curious. I am Florence.
And I am Reed.
I'm like having a bit of a sweat today. I'm ready for the sunshine.
Oh my shit, she's got sunnies on.
Yeah, if you're watching this on YouTube.
Did it? Got her sunnies on. Whoa.
I've got props.
But you've also got your sunglasses on and a pillow next to
you. Yeah, I have pillows next to me to try and make the sound better. Like,
less echoey.
It's a whole world of events. Can you see the pillow?
It's a whole thing. Yeah, you can. Yeah. Oh,
well, welcome to my desk bedroom. If I yawn, I apologize because for some reason... As soon as I sat down here with these cushions, I couldn't stop yawning because I think the cushions remind me of my bed.
Yeah, comfortable mode, relaxation mode. Like, let's do this.
I am so excited to hear from Reed because I know that she's been storing up some dating stories just to tell me on the podcast. She was like, I need your first reaction to happen live in front of the whole wide world.
You were like, how did the dates go? I was like, I'm going to save this for the podcast because I can't fucking wait to tell you. But I have to warn you guys, I feel like shit today, but I think it's because I've had so much fun in the past couple of 5 days and I've done too much and I'm on a massive fun come down, like a drop in serotonin. And I'm just like,
calm down.
I've just had too much fucking fun, which is great. Yeah. It's like I've literally had a year's worth of fun in like 5 days. And my body, my pathetic body's like, please, no, you've had a year of rest. What is this? Well, can't handle it.
We're all sitting here like really eager now because we want to hear what you got up to. Because obviously it was too good to tell me before.
Okay, right.
I need to know now.
There's so much. Okay, I'm going to try and go through it quick. So,
tell us everything.
All right, okay, everything. Friday, I had a daytime date with somebody who is a tickle fetishist, and it was the first time that he ever met anyone else with a tickle fetish, which was really fucking cool. And it was like old classic way of meeting somebody. It was through a friend because he doesn't have social media. So it was like, it was through Vex from Four Chambered Heart, which is amazing. Yeah, really cool.
Really cool.
I remember the first time I met somebody with a tickle fetish, the nerves. Oh my God, I was like nearly sick with nerves and I hardly ever get nervous. It's normally excitement. So yeah, that was like, I sympathize how he felt. And that was a really cute date. We had some margaritas, chatted a lot about tickling, of course. Yeah. Couldn't play. But in the evening, I went to my second date with...
Two dates in one day?
Two dates in one day. Absolute slut fest. Yeah.
You are.
It's like my favourite thing to do.
Slut, mate.
such a date slut. I love it. And of course, I'm very honest about it, but I've just had a talking to by my therapist today saying, like, maybe two dates in a day is too much for your body to handle. Because I had like a moan today. I was like, why can't my body keep up? She's like, okay,
She's
I think
like,
you need to.
Slow the fuck down, Reed.
Slow the fuck
you
down,
don't
right?
You don't need to go on two dates in one day.
Wait, it gets worse. It gets worse.
Wait,
it gets
what?
More intense. Oh, shit.
Okay. And
so this second date was fucking incredible. And they've given me permission to talk about it. Okay. And it was with a lady, a mistress that I met off of FetLife. And what drew me to her profile was that like she's dominant and an absolute sadist, and I'm a masochist. Like, I fucking love being pushed to my limits. And her partner as well, they play with their partner, so two doms. Basically, I went on this date and
how
instantly
does that work in a relationship?
So she is exclusively submissive to him. So doms
wow.
everyone else, but is only exclusively submissive for him. Which is fascinating. And
that
honestly,
is fascinating.
They were so cool.
Maybe
like, I met up with them.
You should get them on the podcast.
I wonder if they would, you know? I wonder. One of them's a teacher, so like, well, it will have to be like, you know, hidden
anonymous.
Identities. Yeah. So met up with them and instantly disarmed, instantly got on with them. The humor was there. They were such a great couple and ended up going back to theirs. And they were fucking professional. She is a professional dominatrix. And I don't know if he's professional, but he's like super into rope. But they had a full fucking rope rig in their living room. Like, it looked like a swing set without the swing, basically. It was amazing.
Uh-huh.
They had everything. And
what would our guests say about that? Come around for a coffee, jump on my rope rig.
My rope rig. I don't really know. But anyway, that you could tell that they were fully in the lifestyle. They were like, do you want to come see the chest? They had a full chest of drawers of like, one drawer it was all these different types of dildos.
Wow.
The next drawer it was all these different types of floggers. Next drawer it was
wow.
all these like ball gags. I was like, I'm in love with you guys. Like, you're amazing.
Wow.
And they were just so smart and so on it, and like knew the psychology behind it, the physical stuff. Like, he does I think some kind of like mixed martial arts stuff, so he understood what bodies are like, and she works in I don't know if I can say this, you know what, I'll find out, I'm sure, but like works in healthcare, and so they know when it comes to flogging, choking, breath play, all that kind of stuff. They know what's too far and what to be careful
Fuck.
With. And that was, it was so fascinating talking about breath play and the different types of breath play with them. Like choking, you know, he doesn't like doing choking because that's more dangerous because of the, you know, like crushing the wind box. Instead,
yeah,
you have
yeah,
to
yeah.
do it in a specific place compared to putting a bag over somebody's head, compared to using like, using waterboarding and like drowning somebody, of course, because you get secondary drowning. So
yeah.
they were just so fucking in the know, and it made me feel so safe. I had
Could
a bag
just...
over my head.
Wait,
Sorry.
What? I was just gonna say, like,
yeah.
where on your throat is safe to choke? Because I know that a lot of people love choking.
Yeah, love choking. So you do not push on that windbox bit, on that front bit. That's the
yeah.
bit, that's the dangerous part. You want to be able to, like, basically squeeze the sides of it. And please look this up if you're doing choking, because I'm not a professional, I don't know. But it's not the pressing on the windbox, the voice box. It's the bit around.
Bits. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not.
Good
and
to
also,
know.
Like... really good to know. And like, I was
really good to
he
know.
Was like holding his hand over my mouth and holding my nose as well, and that was
wait,
like really
so you had a bag
hot.
Over your head. Let's just
right
back
okay let's circle
that.
Back so he was really excited because again being like they're really into fear play, which again I'm into fear play too, so it really fucking
fear
worked.
Fear play
is like playing on the fact that like yeah breath play obviously works in it because it's seeing the fear of like, oh my god, I need this to stop now, and I'm getting turned on just talking about it right now. So he was really excited. He's like, I've just bought a bag, like a roll of bags. And I was like, oh my god, bags. I've never had a bag over my head, and I've always been interested to find it out. Would you mind having a go? And yeah, I had a bag on my head, like, and I was like suffocating it. It was fucking incredible. I don't know if it turned me on, but I loved the fear around it. The fear was like insane. So
fucking hell.
The reason why that I met up with them is because she's really into tickling people. Like, it excites her. And of course, me having a tickle fetish, I was like, oh my God, let's put this into play. He's not so much, but he's into the breath play. Anyway, they were both like, I was tied up. I was like being fingered and fucked with a dildo. And it was so intense. And then they were like tickle torturing me. And that was like the best fucking bit. Like, it was so fucking good. And of course, they were just amazing because they were like, I had a gag in my mouth. That was really fucking loud. I had a gag in my mouth and they would remind me in the moment, you know, if you cannot say your safe word, if you cannot, like, you know, remember tap out. And they would check in constantly. Like, are you okay? Wow. And I'd be like, I'd come out of like a breath play moment. Like, oh my God, that was amazing. Holy fucking shit. That's crazy. And the aftercare as well.
Have
afterwards
you done breath
was just
play
perfect.
Like that before?
Not like that. Not with professionals. Yeah, so I found out that I really like breath play whilst being tickled. It has like a whole new element of fear to it. But of course, have to say, don't just go and put bags on people's heads. Like, and don't think that you're good at breath play because these guys knew what the fuck they were doing. They did a lot of research.
They were literally health professionals,
and they knew what they were doing. They even gave me before, well, it was actually afterwards, but they had a list of their do's and don'ts written out on a document. You know, that they were in the know. They had done this before. And so it was a lot of like checking in. And because there's two of them, you know, instead of one, it was fucking intense. Like, when it's one on one and you're being dominated by one person, you both have a break. When there's two, there's no fucking break. And so afterwards we had the really nice aftercare bit, which was lovely. They were perfect. They were like, we've got a weighted blanket. We all cuddled up on the sofa. We all like checked in as well. But they were like, you know, how was that for you? What did you like? What didn't you like? And we were just like chatted. And funnily enough, even though I felt so comfortable, I ended up starting to panic. I had like waves of panic because of the breathing. My body was being tricked into going into fight or flight mode. And so, of course, I just had to like have a moment and refocus my breathing and calm my fucking nervous system down and be like, remind yourself, hey, you are in a safe environment. I know that was super intense.
Wow.
But yeah, it was fucking amazing. And we're still chatting and I absolutely love them. They're amazing.
Are you
I can't wait to play
again?
With them again. Abso-fucking-lutely. Absolutely.
That sounded... I don't think I've ever heard anything like that before.
It was a dream come true, Florence. I got double dommed by two sadists.
Wow.
And tickle tortured. It was, oh my fuck.
Oh my fuck indeed. I don't even know. I'm actually speechless. Like, what even do I say to this? Like, I'm so happy for you for having that experience.
Thank you. I was like, I felt like this is my people. This is what I've been wanting.
Yeah. That is so cute.
Okay, right.
It's so cute.
I was like, this is why I'm on FetLife, to find like-minded people. This
yeah.
is where I've been felt so like unsatisfied because feeling like that I don't have people on my level, and then finding people that I was like, oh my God, you guys are absolute freaks, and I'm a freak too. Like, it's just amazing.
I'm a freak too. I found my
freak. I even messaged them and I was like, hey, I've just bought a pack of like black latex gloves because I'm really into them. And the guy was like, oh my God, I'm super into black latex gloves too. And I was like, oh my God, this is fucking great. Like, loot them up and like, let's do some like medical play shit. I'm like, so down.
Oh my God, you sound so happy as well when you're talking about it, which
like, I'm so happy.
Brightens my heart too.
Thank you. I feel like this is the me. This is the me I've been waiting for the past, I was going to say 7 years. It's kind of deep to Thomas. Sorry, Thomas, love you. Used to love you.
Used to love you.
Used to love you. Love you like a brother now. It's cool.
It's cool. I mean, it's actually crazy though. Like, it's great that you are able now to explore like everything that you wanted to and find people that you can fully connect with as well.
Further with it. There's like, you know, they're like, there's so much stuff I've wanted to do and I haven't had the confidence to say like, yeah, I want to do some piss play stuff, because people are like, whoa, hold up. And they're all like super into it. So yeah, it's going to be great. Okay. And then a quick roundup. The day after, I went to a barbecue and then I fucked an old colleague, which was great.
Oh yeah.
At the house party.
No wonder you're fucking ill and like tired and...
And then the day after, I had a picnic date with another guy off a field. And then last night I went to Club Verboten's Tears for Beers, where they like basically vet you and check if you're like okay to be a member.
Amazing. How did that go?
Oh, it was great. It was really great. It was really hard because of social distancing. You were kind of really stuck to your table. So mixing and socializing was so hard. But, oh my God. And before that, I did a tickle session. I did a paid for tickle session during the day at Mama Shelter Hotel.
What?
So this is why I feel a bit crap, because I've had so much excitement and now I'm like, oh.
Someone paid you to tickle them.
Yeah, no, I got paid to be tickled, and it was like I got paid to have basically my fantasies come true, and it was fucking amazing. And it was the first time I've ever had a clitoral orgasm whilst being tickled. This was like a life-changing moment, and I got paid for it.
That's fucked. I mean, that's amazing. That's crazy.
That's fucked. See, this is so much has happened, and so I'm probably gonna have a huge crash.
Brain can't compute all new information.
I'm so happy. I finally feel like the best version of myself, man. Yeah. I feel so good.
That is so good.
It was so fucking good. Oh,
and for anyone that doesn't feel the need or desire to experiment with breath play, have their head in a bag, and be tortured, then that's cool too.
Absolutely cool. You're like vanilla
I'm
is cool
here for you. I'm just an absolute
I'm a sicko that have had really unsatisfactory sex for most of my life, when people that enjoy vanilla have probably had really great sex, you know.
I have fucking great sex.
Yeah, you have great sex, please.
I had sex 3 times this week and it was amazing too.
Hey! So you're like, but
I have nothing else to say, it was just good.
Oh, that was that's lovely though. Like, great, wonderful vanilla sex is just beautiful.
We did it with the blinds up at night, so obviously
everyone's,
you know, the people in the building opposite could have a peek in if they wanted to.
I hope they did, and I hope they had a little,
that's how I roll.
Little fiddle.
Little fiddle diddle over there. Get little the binoculars out.
Oh, wouldn't you?
Then what she's at it like again.
She's the theatre glasses. Like, yes, I see they're at it again. Yes. I don't know why that's my theatre voice.
Love that though. Like that Rear Window Alfred Hitchcock film where there's whole like murder thing going on in the flats above, and he's just like sitting there like watching it all. That is, I love people watching, and if something was happening in the building opposite me, I would be like there for the drama.
We're not talking about murder though, right? We're talking about sex stuff.
Yeah, just talking about sex.
No, your face, you were like, maybe murder.
I was like, maybe I would love to like see some murder mystery go on the build. I thought there was some crazy like shit going on the building when I first moved in. I was like, because there was a security guard, but I thought it was a policeman. I was like, oh my God, there's a policeman like scouting out.
Oh, I saw that guy, yeah.
Yeah, and then there was like a lady who was trying to get into a door and she couldn't get in. And then later on in the day, she was leaving with a suitcase. I was like, what is going on? The drama.
The drama.
The drama. But I also wanted to, this is like, we're basically not doing this episode properly because
we've done this the wrong way round.
We're supposed to be chatting about how we met, but
we've done the fun bit first.
I also not my update, but I saw something on TikTok this week that shook me.
Yeah. And oh, it shook you? Whoa.
Shook me to my very core. Basically it was a lesbian content creator, and she was like, I have loads of guy friends and I always ask them, like, they always give me all the tea on like how they feel about their girlfriends and like girls in general. And she was giving like certain things that they do or say that, and like how if it's true or like how you should feel about it, and like weird like little facts that she learns.
Learnt nice one them. Cool English.
Cool English there. Great. And one of them was, guys aren't attracted to you for 5 minutes after they come.
Wow. I wonder how true that is, but that I... Like, is that like a hardcore science fact, or is that like something
it's
that...
It's what her mate said.
Okay. So... But that would make a lot of sense. You know, like, that's kind of like a evolutionary caveman type thing. Like, I've given you my seed, I got to spread my seed somewhere else because I need to populate the planet. But yeah. That's so fascinating.
I know.
I also wonder if it's like a shame thing as well. Mm. Yeah. Any guys out there listening to this, and don't have to be straight, you know, it would be really fascinating to know, because I know that they do get a different surge of chemicals when they've come, like women get like chemicals of like, I need to be held and cuddled and looked after.
Protect me.
Caveman from this like fucking dinosaur about to eat our potential child. Unborn child. But
the guy's just like ew.
Yeah, like, oh, I'm done.
And you
I've come
what?
In you like give this me actually, a moment
like, this like hit me hard, because the other day after I finished having sex, my partner was like, you always look so like disheveled after sex. And like,
did
I always
he use
look
the
at
word
myself,
disheveled?
I can't remember what exact word he said, but I always look fucked. No, I think he said you always look fucked after we like have sex. Like,
but like, that's hot.
Because my hair is always just like, it's like a haystack afterwards. Hair is not hot after we have sex. It's not hot.
Please take a picture, please. After you have sex, I want to see this hair.
Okay,
sex
and then
hair.
Like, if I was wearing makeup, the makeup's like halfway down my face and I'm just
but
like,
I think that's so hot.
My chest goes so red and my face is all flushed and I'm like sweaty.
I love the makeup thing. I think that's so sexy. Like, I will put on makeup just to fucking it and have it all like run down my face and be disheveled and like smear. Only thing I don't like it on my bed sheets. I'm like, that's annoying.
I was like, but do you still find me sexy though?
Oh, and what did he say?
He was like, well, yeah, obviously.
But okay,
then in the back of my mind, I was like, no,
you're lying. You fucking liar.
You fucking don't. Fuck. You think I'm disgusting for the next 5 minutes after you came.
Fuck. I don't know how true that
is. You know what, as well?
Yeah.
Because sometimes the guy will come first and then he'll finish you off. But if he was like that repulsed by you after sex, like surely he wouldn't finish you off.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so many guys don't finish you off.
That's true. That is true. And also, it depends on what we mean by attraction as well, because attraction is not like, you know, that the attraction is so different for different people. Attraction might just be like, not that I'm repulsed by you. I mean, that's fucking harsh. It could literally just be like, oh, like, I'm done with this situation. I could quite happily sit on my own for the moment. You know, I don't think it's like as harsh as we're making it out to be. Like, I don't want to be anywhere near you. I don't like you. I don't fancy you. I don't think it's like that.
Maybe we need to.
I think it might just be like
on the podcast.
Oh my god, yes! I think that's a great idea. Like, yeah, just sounds amazing.
I'll try and find that video again, but you know, once it's gone, it's fucking gone on TikTok.
Yeah,
never
that's true.
I don't know if I liked it or favorited it.
Shit. I mean. I won't believe this until I see some hardcore facts, basically. I need some fucking science up in here. As much as, like, that's great asking your friends, that's not everybody, and that's not, like,
also,
I need some...
Also, what I thought was that I'd bring it to the table
for this episode,
and then, like, maybe when we get a guy on the podcast, we can bring it back to the table, and we can circle back, so that we, like, the curious fuckers can be in on this little discovery journey of whether this is a... The thing
we just have to ask every
true
dude that's on
or
there.
False. Fake news.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Hello, I'm Alan Cumming. And I have a new podcast called Alan Cumming's Shelves. You see, I have quite a few shelves in my house that are sort of a museum of my life. In each episode, I'm going to take an item off my shelves, tell you why it's there in the first place, then start to talk about my memories of it, and then I chat with a friend who's involved in those memories. I've spoken to Ian McKellen about a hemp bracelet that he bought me on a nudist beach we visited together, Cyndi Lauper about a pair of white leather gloves I wore on Broadway, and you even get to hear Jerry Halliwell talk about my Spice Girls lunchbox, and that is not a euphemism. I have some really amazing guests coming on to chat, so I just hope you will join me. And all you have to do that is to search for Alan Cumming's Shelves, wherever you get your podcasts from. See you soon.
Hey, podcaster, meet Acast. We're the top independent podcast network for creators in the know. We empower you to develop your podcast idea, find your audience, and grow listener relationships wherever those listeners are. You'll also find a whole range of ways to make money, from membership plans for paying fans to our fully curated and creative advertising experience. Visit acast.com/network to find out more. Acast, for the stories.
All right, enough about scary situations and unconfirmed facts.
Yeah, let's get on to the actual point of this episode, which we're now going to have to rush through.
Yeah, rush through. And also people are going to be sitting there like, boring. All right, boring. Get back to the fucked up shit, please.
But kind of like, you know, the way that we met each other was not conventional in the slightest.
And the way that we met and the way that we started this was cool as fuck.
Yeah.
Very proud.
Yeah, it was. Mm-hmm. Like, we both had like a massive interest in porn, which I think we both discovered in our university journeys.
Yeah.
Which is quite random. Mine was more like, I was really into like cinematic, kind of like feminist porn, mm-hmm. like erotic cinema. Very like, because like I was coming from like a fine art moving image background. So mm-hmm. I was seeing it more on the like, I really want to make like the most beautiful cinematic porn that you've ever seen.
Porn that wasn't out there. Yeah, no one ever does that. Mm. Most you ever saw was like the nice stuff on Tumblr now and again.
Yeah.
And even then.
So... Mm. Yeah, as you do, I just like found a really dodgy porn job in London and moved up there.
And I did the same thing. I came from like a television kind of studying background, and I wanted to make what I thought was porn. So all the commercial porn that you see, the shit stuff, the stuff that's like, yeah, commercial, hardcore, because that was the stuff I was watching at the time, and I didn't even think about it being nice. And so I was like, okay, I want to make porn. I want to film porn. And found a dodgy porn job in Marylebone in London.
I actually, to this day, can't deal with Marylebone because gives me PTSD.
Yeah, it triggers, right? I'm just like,
really
that was
triggered.
The place we worked for, that really fucking dodgy company.
We've never really even spoken about it either because it's so fucked up.
It is a fucked up situation.
Like, I don't even know if we can even, I don't even want to go into the details.
We should.
Because it was so fucked up.
We should, because like, porn is really glamorized. And I know that there's a lot of people, you know, you've got two sides of it. It's like, wow, the porn industry, it's just like sex, drugs, money, like hot people. Then you've got the other side, which is the exploitation. Exploitation? Is that a real word? Exploitative?
Exploitation.
Exploitation. And like, people doing it for the wrong reasons, and
we were just really naive in that situation. Like, I had no idea what the porn industry was like. I hadn't even ever watched that much porn. Mm-hmm. All I knew is that I wanted to get some experience filming people have sex, mm-hmm. because I was like, this is something I'm obviously gonna have to feel comfortable with if I want to shoot porn. And
they were paying.
It was a weird Google search.
Yeah, it was a Google search. This is how Florence and I met. We met through working on this set, with this company, which is kind of like beautiful in the fact that like we just hit it off straight away and we were like, oh my God, like we clicked instantly.
It was a true friendship.
It was love
romance.
At first sight.
It really was. Yeah. And like, because the weird thing is that obviously you had been shooting your own porn. Mm-hmm. Before. So I started at this company and I was like, not gonna lie, I have zero experience, but I can use a camera and I want to do this. And for some reason they were like, okay, cool, come on board, but we're gonna get this girl in to like help you out with the filming, mm-hmm. so you can like kind of like learn the ropes, and she's gonna like, you're gonna do two camera work, and mm-hmm. You were kind of my mentor, I guess. They kind of hired you as my mentor.
Which is mad, because you had more camera experience, but I just had like more porn experience. Because I was already working in the porn industry anyway, and like kind of doing my own like little movies and shit. But I mean, the reason why it was dodgy is like, we can't be blamed. We were lied to a lot at the beginning and we didn't clock.
Oh my God.
Like, the lies were unreal.
were they were mad. I remember the first time I was the time that I was interviewed for the job, the guy that ran this shady business, who was in his 40s or something, mm-hmm. maybe 50, he was walking around Marylebone and he legit knew everyone.
Yeah.
He was the guy that waved to everyone and they'd be like, oh, hi. They knew him.
Yeah, did exactly.
And then he'd be pointing out oh yeah, look, there is the big office where we do all the corporate stuff, and pointing to this building. And he was like, I'll take you there one day.
Yeah, he did the same.
He also took me. Did he take you into that hotel as well? Because he was like, we're going to film in this hotel.
Oh, fuck.
He went into this hotel. Yeah. The staff in the hotel knew him. And I was just like, okay, cool. Everyone else in Marylebone knows this guy.
Seems legit.
So it can't be that. How would we have known that we were being lied to?
Yeah, well, we didn't know. We didn't know for a good couple of months did we work there for?
Yeah.
On and off, couple of months. And things started mm-hmm. unraveling and started... But it was dodgy anyway, because this company said that they were making porn. The way that they marketed themselves was, we are making porn audition videos for men mm-hmm. specifically who want to become porn stars. So they would come to this tiny little office in Marylebone.
And they had to pay
to a lot of
be
money
involved.
And then we would film it, and we would film them fucking a girl, while we were directing and filming the whole thing. And then they said that they would send these audition tapes to the bigger office, and if they went through, then they would become porn stars. And we thought that was true, because we had already been pointed out that there was the big offices over there, and they had an even bigger office over in America or wherever it was, and
I had no idea how porn works. So I was like,
of course.
Was like, obviously people have to pay to audition, because otherwise any old person would come in and audition and they just use it as a free shag.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh yeah, that kind of does make sense.
Yeah, when actually, in reality, if you want to become a porn star, you start creating your own content, putting it up on Twitter, and that's mm-hmm. and actually putting yourself out there.
Nobody auditions for porn.
No, you can.
That
you
is
can,
not a thing.
You can get a casting couch, and I think because we have this idea of the casting couch, it's been made into porn. We think that's how it works, and it really doesn't. It's it's almost like a trope. It's a fantasy that the porn industry have created to be all these women want to come in, let's fuck them on a sofa and see if they've got what it takes. Because a lot of people think they want to do porn. They're like, well, I love sex.
Yeah.
I'm great at sex, so therefore I may as well be paid for it. And still to this day, I still get asked, oh, how do I get into the porn industry? How do I do this? Lots of people think that they could. Literally at that barbecue I had at the weekend, the guy was like, oh, you're in porn. I want to be a porn star. I was like, okay, cool. Make some content of you wanking with your face in and put it up on Twitter, and then we'll have a conversation. And he was like, oh no, I couldn't do that. It's like, well, why do you think you can fucking do porn?
Yeah.
So circling back to this dodgy ass company, it was already weird as fuck anyway that they were paying a girl to basically fuck six dudes in a day for not that much money.
I feel I'm traumatized by this.
Yeah.
I feel sick to my stomach about being involved with this.
Especially because she wasn't doing... She hated every moment and she was just doing it for the money. That was hard to see. And also these...
There was one guy that she liked.
Yeah, these guys weren't vetted beforehand.
That's the other fucked up thing. We have seen things that we should have never have seen. These guys weren't vetted before. So you can imagine mm-hmm. Who wanted to turn up for a porn audition.
Yeah, it wasn't hot porn stars. It was it was your average Joe. Not even your average Joe. It was a different caliber
different
of person.
Ages,
It was, yeah. And it was really hard watching that happen, because she really wanted the money. And other people would come in
they thought that they were going to do porn. She thought she was going to be a porn star, and this was the start of it.
It's all fucked up.
But then I also what's crazy is that I ended up calling the me and the admin girl ended up calling the police on this company.
Yeah.
And we spoke to the police, because basically one of the guys that had come in for an audition This is why we left, basically. Yeah, one of the guys all of us who came in for the audition obviously was just like, what the fuck, like, you stole my money, like, you're not making me a porn star, like, what the fuck is this, like, dodgy company. And he kept calling up our admin girl, and he wouldn't say anything if I picked up the phone, but if she picked up the phone, he would say racial slurs to her down the phone, mm-hmm. call her like a slut, like, it was, and it got horrible.
It got violent, right? It got like threatening.
Oh yeah. It was like, I'm going to come and stab you. I'm going to kill you. Yep. Like, give my money back. You little, like, really hot, like, horrible, racist,
nasty words,
nasty mm-hmm. things. And we obviously went to the people, like the two guys that are in charge of this little company, and we're like, we were shaking. We were terrified. Yeah. This person knew where we worked, so they could easily come and find us.
Yeah,
so
follow you home, anything. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't even just like regular threats as well. I remember you guys saying that you heard him sharpening a knife on the phone.
So this, when we went over to tell the bosses, mm-hmm. they were like, oh, girls, don't worry. Go back to the
office.
Don't worry
about it. It's fine.
And
then fuck off.
Ring, 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 ring. Like, the phone went off and she picked it up and there was just knife sharpening noises like down the phone.
Fuck?
And we were like, we are fucking out of here. Like, we never looked back. We never went back. Like, we left. At that point, we were like, we are out.
Yeah, and of course they didn't want to get the police involved because they were doing dodgy ass fucking shit. They were lying to people. And the website itself, I remember the website just looked so bullshit and like dated and crap. But then people that wanted to become porn stars would part with their cash. I can't even remember how much they were paying. They must have been paying like maybe 400 quid a pop or something.
No, or was it 169.
To basically fuck someone. And then it go nowhere. And they still lied to us constantly. It was like they were compulsive liars. And it was this other old... Oh, it was two guys that was just like...
And they were living in the room that like everything went down. And it was like a grotty, like dingy little like basement flat in Marylebone. And... Yeah, I'm actually terrified of this whole experience. Like, if I saw this guy or anyone involved, I would freak the fuck out.
Yeah, this is what puts porn to a bad name, is people who are fuckwits and con artists and basically jump on like, oh, but we do porn, we're sex, what, you know, it, no, absolutely not. But then again, this must have been like 7 years ago.
Yeah.
Maybe even longer,
8 years ago.
That would not be accepted now. We would be able to take them to court.
We went to the police and we spoke to a policeman. We basically, after that event, like, I was terrified. I couldn't go home by myself. So I went back mm-hmm. to hers. And then the police came and met us at her family house. Mm-hmm. They didn't do anything about it. We told them the whole story. They didn't do
Gave
it. They
information,
didn't follow up. The information wasn't there. Like, you know, I just don't know. Like, maybe they did, but like, I think they follow up with the people that call the police if something does happen.
Yeah, or maybe they don't. It's hard to know. I think they would have been fucked over somewhere because they were just dodgy people. The problem is they weren't horrible people. That's why we believe them. They were really lovely.
They were nice to us. We got free lunches.
Yeah, we got paid quite a bit for it as well. It wasn't like a low paid job. It was a decent paid job.
Got £400 a week, and like, for me, I'd just been working in a bar, and I was like, that is decent.
Just after uni, I was like, paid £25 an hour. Yeah. And that was like insane. I'd never been paid that much money before.
Yeah.
So, again, from that horrible situation, a beautiful friendship started.
The weirdest way to meet in the whole wide world.
The weirdest way to meet. And Florence lived
in Brighton. This is the exclusive.
We've
never spoken about this before.
Never spoken about it. Because it's traumatic. And it's almost like a part of your life that you block out.
I feel
you just
sick
can't believe
talking
you went
about
through
it. To be fair, I have PTSD.
Oh, baby girl. But this is like good. The talking about stuff will help you process and get through it. This is why talking therapy is good.
I should probably talk about this to my therapist.
Yeah.
I've never spoken about this to anyone before.
Definitely. Get Mike on the phone,
apart from you, because you're the only one that knows.
Yeah. Well, I don't think we quite realised how awful it was at the time. You don't realise.
At the time, no. Like, it was just... I just was so naive. Like, I can't believe how full, like, taken in I was by it all.
Yeah.
All because I just wanted to get into the industry and I was like, this is just what it takes.
Yeah, and that happens in every industry, you know, like people do get taken advantage of, you know, you do work experience for a company that promises you they're going to give you a pay job and then they don't. It happens everywhere. It's just unfortunate that when it comes to sex work, you feel like you have less of a leg to stand on when you're, you know, when you want to go legal with it. But because of this situation, it's like Florence and I have like vowed to make sure that when we make porn, we are the best that we can possibly be and we treat everyone with respect and pay them fairly. And there's no sort of like shadiness. It's always open and honest because that's how porn should be. Porn shouldn't be this fucked up, horrible situation where it's just lies and taking advantage of people.
Yeah.
And thank God things are changing. Thank God people are clearing up.
The thing is, I wouldn't have not done this experience. Like, I wouldn't have not done it if I had known today, because I wouldn't have met you if I hadn't have gone through that. So that's the weird thing, is that like, obviously it was good that we met in that weird, crazy way.
And that's an important thing to take. Like, something shitty that has happened, you can take good out of it. And even if that good is just learning from the mistake or learning how to behave or learning what to pick up on. And we can all relate to that. We've all been through horrible situations and we've become better people because of it.
Yeah. And like that, I guess it's not what inspired Come Curious, but because of that job, I then ended up living with you.
Yeah, baby. And
obviously, because we are obsessed with sex, we talk about it all the fucking time. And then from that, we were like, maybe people would feel like great if we just spoke about this.
Because we made each other feel great. I remember nights where we would just be sitting in our dressing gowns, drinking tea, talking about all our sexual experiences.
Yeah.
All like the shitty stuff that happened, the great stuff that happened. It was like kind of like the first time that we'd really opened up to somebody else on a different level. And we were like, you know what? We feel really good. You've made me feel really good about who I am and what I'm into with sex. So why don't we see if it helps other people online? And us two were like, all right, well, let's sit in our dressing gowns and talk about sex and film it and put it up on YouTube and Vimeo back in the day, not really knowing what we were doing. Vimeo, fucking crease. But Vimeo works because you could have nudity on Vimeo and obviously YouTube you couldn't.
Yeah.
And then, we just started doing that every week, posting up a video, chatting, not editing the videos. Those very first videos are fucking hilarious.
I was editing all the videos at the beginning and I just didn't really edit them. So they're all like,
like long ass videos and of us talking for an hour.
So fucking awkward as well. But it was really funny though, because I was definitely like, that was the first time I was fully like exploring myself in a sexual way and like, obviously the whole like porn thing, I was like, cool, like I'm finally like doing something that I really was passionate about, but I was kind of a little bit scared of like being open about with everyone else I knew. But like, you made that such like a normal thing. And then because we both kind of normalized the whole thing with each other, that's what created our kind of like dynamic with Come Curious. And it was literally just us in our early 20s just figuring out what sex was and like our relationship with our bodies. And I was going through a huge like change with my body, because I had been like really quite miserable and I'd put on loads of weight because I like lost that job and like I was on the dole and I was drinking a lot and like there was just like
there was the first time we really played around with webcam work as well together.
Yeah.
Because we lived with somebody else who was a webcammer. So that was like the first time we sort of had a go with sex work. And that was really fun. We made it so fun. We had like party nights together where we would, you know, drink loads, have loads of fun. I was like smoking so much fucking weed at the time.
Smoking so much weed.
Oh my God. Yeah.
All day, every day.
It was all day, every day. And also doing a lot of drugs as well. Like, I'm so happy I'm out of that. Like, 10 years of hardcore drug abuse. Really. Yeah. Thank God I'm out of that. I haven't smoked weed in over 5 years now, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
Nice one. I feel so much better for it. Babe. Weed is great, by the way. I'm not dissing weed, but if you're smoking illegal weed, then you just don't know what's in it, and it can just basically exacerbate any pre-mental health conditions and shit. So that's what fucked me up. It made my OCD so much worse.
Yeah.
Yeah, the body thing. So that was probably what really changed, like, how I felt about my body, like the nipple hair conversation that we had.
Yes.
That was like a big deal where I was like, you have nipple hair too?
I remember that.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. Because I had like, I think maybe like the previous year, I'd sat down, I was having like a dinner with my mum, my auntie, and we were looking through, I think, a photographer's book, and it had like a photo of a nipple hair in it. And they both made like snide comments like, oh yeah, like, that's odd. Like, I'd never have any nipple hairs. And I was just sat there at the table thinking, I have a nipple hair that like grows and I pluck it out every single month.
Yeah. Like, and it's just, they're probably coming from a defensive place. Like, oh, they probably have nipple hair too.
They probably have nipple hairs too.
Yeah. And it just comes from like, oh, no, I've been programmed to think that this isn't okay.
Yeah. When we spoke about it, I was like, this is great. Like, all the body stuff. Suddenly, oh, it is completely normal to have a nipple hair, or, like, two or three or four or five.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, my fucking nipples are covered in hair.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, because it's fucking normal. I get the random weird hairs.
It's so normal. Do you ever get those, like, really long hairs that grow out of random places on your body? And they're, like,
oh my,
suddenly...
Absolutely.
They must grow so fast. Because one day they're not there, and the next day they're, like, 2 inches long, like, little blonde tails. And you're like,
yeah,
what
I get
the
them on
it's
my
It's just, like, coming out
face.
Of your chest.
Oh my, I get it on my face. And I just wake up and I'm like, I have a fucking whisker that just, like magically grew overnight. Like, all right, see ya. Yeah. Bye, pluck.
Yeah.
But it's just so normal. Like, our body's an insane organism. Our skin is a whole organism that it's not going to just behave itself and do what we want, do what we think it should. It's just going to do fucking crazy shit.
Yeah. But that's, I guess that's like the insider gossip of how we met, because I don't speak about that to anyone, and I guess it's good to talk about it because it makes people aware of like dodgy things like that happening, and like knowing
it's not all fucking like sunshine and rainbows, and I'm sure people have felt exactly the same way with their work, and it's hard to talk about it. It's really fucking hard. But it's like, you know, now we're in the age of like, you can stand up for yourself and you can tell someone about it. And if you are in a situation like that where you feel uncomfortable at work, talk to what they call ombudsman. That's not the right term, but like, talk to somebody about it. It doesn't have to, you know, talk to a charity, look up like a helpline. Find
call
a therapist.
Call the police if you fucking need to.
Yeah, call the police, because they might just be able to give you a bit more advice and tell you whether or not it's a police-worthy situation.
Yeah.
I think that happens a lot in domestic abuse situations where people assume domestic abuse is like what we've seen on TV and what we hear and what we see in films. And it's like, no, it doesn't. It could literally be your partner telling you that you're stupid. And that's a horrible situation to be in. It doesn't have to be this big thing, you know. Talk to a charity about it and then get the advice. And it's important. Know the facts. Help yourself.
I'm sure we could like divulge more of like why we started Come Curious and stuff, but I feel like you could probably find that on our YouTube channel and other places. We've given you the exclusive story here for the new Fucks Given series.
It has been an exclusive. And of course, like, we are so grateful for having Come Curious, because at first we thought it was literally just a fun little thing that we did, until we started getting messages and comments back being like, oh my God, you've made me feel so much better about ourselves. And therefore it's turned into a fucking career. Who fucking knew? We have a team of people. We pay people to work for us. We're a business. We're two business boss ladies.
I know.
It's just mind blown from like...
It is mind blown.
I mean, it's been a lot
From
of hard
that
work.
Experience to like what we do now, But it has, yeah, has been 7 years of hard work, hard graft.
Hard, free work, lots free of work. Unpaid free work. But
so
we'll get there.
This podcast.
Yeah, if you're a sponsor, because like we are breaking even at the moment. I think a lot of people think that because we have huge numbers on our views, we have a video that's like it's nearly 6 million views
6 million
on YouTube.
Views on YouTube.
The fuck,
but
and we're
of
still
algorithms.
Because the fucking algorithm.
We don't earn
sex.
Anything from that because we it's an 18 plus and like, you know.
Jesus fucking Christ.
So we've just given you the lowdown how we met on a porn set and how fucking terrible
Jesus,
it was.
Yeah, and we're not rinsing every single porn studio out there. Like, we haven't worked with them. And I'm sure that there are plenty porn studios that are actually good and ethical. But this is our experience, at least it's a shit experience that brought us together, that created Come Curious and this podcast.
Yeah, and it's quite fitting, really, with our whole porn story consequences game with our curious fuckers.
Literally love
and
it.
And how we, you know, we said that when we're going to make porn, we are always going to do and strive better and make things as good as possible, ethical and everything, and just make it like the best experience ever. And
basically,
this porn consequences game, we're going to make into a proper film.
Oh, hell
so
yes.
Get involved.
Basically, we want to do the opposite of how we met, that the opposite of what the experience, all the bad experiences we've ever had working in the adult industry. We want to make sure it's like family oriented. We want people to be on our set and go away and be like, I would love to work on that set again. Not like horrified or traumatized. No. So as horrible as it is, it has helped us both be great ethical porn directors and know what we want and know what we don't want. So need to have these horrible mistakes to push the world into a better place. We're going to change the way for porn. That's the idea, baby.
So if you remember last week on the episode, our porno started with me sitting in my flat and there was an angry knock at the door.
Angry.
And it was Reed at the door, who apparently was my landlady.
Nice, cool.
Somehow.
I like this.
So Reed's my landlady.
Harumph.
And yeah, what happens next? And we got you guys to write in your ideas and we have chosen at random one of your replies.
This reply is jokes, though. I'm glad we picked this one because it is it's just hilarious and we're ready to go in. We're ready to destroy.
So have a little like go into your imagination, close your eyes. I've just answered the door to Reed.
We need like the porn music to go in the background of this, right? Wank, wank. Wow, wow, wow. I don't know what that was. That was like some quack fest.
So just to refresh your memories, the story so far. Florence was home alone. It was a typical afternoon of relaxing and casually scrolling through Instagram. Suddenly, there was a knock on the door. Florence looked through the peephole to see her landlady, Reed, stood with her arms crossed. She did not look happy.
I'm trying to act it out. Tapping my foot. I'm imagining your door as well, your front door.
I'm like opening the door.
I kind of love this though, because you're new building, right? Like if I'm the landlady, surely I own the rest of the building. That'd be sick. Nice. I'm well off, Rich.
Nice one, Reed. And I'm just giving you all my money.
Yeah, basically, yeah. Thanks for helping me get rich, Florence. Imagine. Should I go in with the next part?
Yeah, we're eagerly awaiting.
Okay, the next part. Reed tells Florence, I know you've been shagging my husband behind my back and I don't like it. Or you, or him for that matter.
You don't like me?
Deep. The deepness
Wait, you don't
of
like,
it.
You don't like him?
I don't like you or him. My husband, I don't like either of you for that matter.
Okay, this is a massive plot twist.
Whoa. Firstly, I'm married, so like what kind of fucking twisted alternate universe is this?
And secondly, I'm the one that's shagging your husband.
My husband, which is kind of like I mean, I'm fairly certain if I was going to have a husband, we would be either like non-monogamous or poly. So it's kind of like, would it be cheating? Actually, you know what? It would be cheating if I wasn't cool with it because I don't like you, Florence. So like,
he doesn't like me, so.
So it would be cheating. So yeah, if you're fucking my husband, who's obviously an absolute dreamboat, but
yeah,
scumbag.
And I'm your arch nemesis that lives in your flat and you're taking advantage of me by using me for my rent.
Yeah, I upped the rent as well, didn't I? So
that's why, yeah, that's why. I decided to sleep with your husband, Reed.
You're like, I'm gonna get back at Reed. She's upped my rent. It's too ridiculous. So yeah, let me fuck her husband.
Reed's husband's kind of hot.
Kind of hot, excuse me.
Yeah, I mean
I'm married to him. Kind. He best be fucking drop dead.
But he's been sleeping with me now, so.
I'm not even hurt. I'm just angry. And I don't like you or him.
How did you find out? That is the question.
I don't know. I guess we will only know when the next part of this story is created for us. We need to know. Like, guys, you need to put your minds together, get that porno director thinking cap on and tell us what the next part of this story is.
Is it a flashback? Or is it what Reed does to me after she wants to fuck me up, basically?
Yeah, so I'm like
cheating.
I'm torturing Florence. Maybe, plot twist, I found out that you were cheating and then I upped your rent to get back at you and now I'm confronting you about it.
Oh, shit. And you're like, I know you've been fucking my husband and now your rent is £2,000 a month.
£2,000 a month. How far can we push this story? What's the next bit? Like, we want over the top, dramatic, ridiculous. Because if we're going to actually make this porno in the future, we need to go in. There's so many things I want to say, but I don't want to give anyone ideas.
So right now, I'm standing at my door and Reed's basically just like, you cheated.
Yeah.
And that's what happens next, basically.
Is the door open or is the door shut and I'm shouting this through the door? You know what? Maybe the audience decides.
Yeah, maybe they
do. Curious fuckers.
Maybe I'm
need to help us
maybe
out.
I'm cowering behind the door, like looking through the peephole, like, oh shit!
Oh, this is actually so sad. I feel like I'm. What's gonna happen? But you know what?
Maybe I've got your husband like in the room.
What if he's in there? Oh yeah. Shit is gonna go down. You think 200 grand? Wow, you think that 10 grand a month is expensive? Just you fucking wait, Florence.
Just you fucking wait. But I think also we did wanna touch upon the fact that we do not condone cheating.
Oh yes.
And this is fully a fantasy. I know that cheating is quite a big fantasy for some people, isn't it?
It's not. So. I mean, I think it can be a fetish for a lot of people, sleeping around behind their partner's back.
So no wonder it's like a popular porn category.
Massively popular, the cheating husband or wife. But yeah, we do not condone cheating or doing anything behind your partner's back. Sleeping with other people when your partner knows that you're sleeping with other people, it's not cheating. Cheating is just like,
I can't wait to. I can't wait to hear what happens next. I'm sitting on the edge of my seat waiting.
Oh, yes. Right. I'm moist waiting for this.
Moistly anticipating.
It's going to slip off my chair. Could you imagine? You're right there. Yeah, okay.
Okay, so if you want to get involved, we are going to be posting it all over our social media. So make sure you're following the Come Curious Instagram, which is at Come Curious. Or if you want to email in your suggestion, it is fksgiven@comecurious.co.uk.
You are the directors, the creators, the script writers of this porno, and you can go as far as you like. There are no limits. This is a judgment-free zone. So please help us. Help us to create this absolute beast of a porno.
Nothing sexy's happened yet. So
no, not yet. We've had two entries. What is this?
Wow. Really, really thought that there would be more.
I mean,
interesting.
Who are we even talking to? Who even is this audience?
Who are you?
What is this? Impress us. Think the
no,
word.
We love you. We love you. And we know that this is going to be an amazing porno. So, yeah.
get involved.
Anyway, we better go.
Yeah, we got to fuck
off. And leave you to get on with the rest of your days. So thank you so much for listening to this episode, Curious Fuckers.
Oh yeah, I hope we've just left you thinking about Florence and I having sex all day long. So I really, really hope you enjoyed this episode. Don't forget that you can email in to us and DM us and get involved with us.
And follow us on social media at I'm Curious, at Reed AmberX, and at Florence Bark. And also follow this podcast. I realise that Apple now doesn't subscribe. You follow on Apple Podcasts as well. So follow the podcast everywhere, Spotify,
Shit is
Apple.
Changing.
But you can leave a review still on Apple. So please do that if you can.
Yeah. I mean, you can make it 5-star. Like, that would be great.
Oh, yeah.
Because it means that we get good things coming our way if loads of people review and rate and stuff, doesn't it?
Yeah.
We get, seen more.
Yeah, and if you're a brand and you're listening to this, get in contact because you can sponsor us.
If you want a sexy slot, you can slip it in right in between this podcast. Also, check out our YouTube channel where we are uploading our videos straight to YouTube so you can see that. And if you're actually watching this on YouTube, remember, if you're commuting and you don't want to watch us and you don't want fucking YouTube to stop every time, just go to Spotify or Apple Podcasts so you can listen to us all day.
All day long. And we'll see you next Thursday, Curious Fuckers.
Next Thursday. Love you all.
Bye.
Crowd Network, a place where you belong.
Hey, podcaster, meet Acast. We're the top independent podcast network for creators in the know. We empower you to develop your podcast idea, find your audience, and grow listener relationships wherever those listeners are. You'll also find a whole range of ways to make money, from membership plans for paying fans to our fully curated and creative advertising experience. Visit acast.com/network to find out more. Acast, for the stories.